course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Welcome, ghouls and creeps, to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. Joined as always by my other friend, Ike. And today we're joined by another friend, Rye Barrett, star of In a Violent Nature. Rye, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very good. We got a lot to talk about today, and we're going to start off. You're from Ontario, right? Based in Toronto?
Yeah. I'm in Toronto. I'm from Guelph, Ontario.
All right. Well, I read a thing that said that you dove into acting because you just started off making a free, like a lot of guys do, I guess, making a film with friends just for fun. So tell us how that got started and what that was like.
Yeah, there was, I had a couple of friends who were, just same film geeks as me. And they were in film school and just kind of screwing around with the idea of making a film. And they invited me to a meeting, and I thought that was going to be something to do with, behind the scenes editing, or I don't know, something like that. Cause I was in communications and working on that stuff at the time. But then they wanted me to play the lead. They knew that I was in drama, and we went to high school together and stuff too. So I ended up playing the lead in that, and it got picked up by Lionsgate and Alliance Atlantis. Just at the time, there was no real micro budget market. So we just got this huge deal, and it got sent all over the world and released everywhere. And we thought we'd made it. We couldn't have been further from the truth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's got to feel like an accomplishment though, right? When you're just doing something to kind of wet your feet, have a little fun.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a great experience. We learned a lot, but it's a terrible movie. It's funny to go back and watch it now. it's like an Evil Dead ripoff, but we formed some great friends, and a lot of the people who actually made that movie have gone on to continue to make stuff too. And I go back and make stuff with them sometimes now.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, like we talked about, you have several acting credits, including the, in your words, the horrible Evil Dead ripoff. No, I'm kidding. But you also have a few writing credits. Do you enjoy being involved on the more creation side of the film versus the on-camera side of the film?
Yeah, I mean, I think I equally enjoy them. They're just very different things. But I've always been a writer too. Just ever since I was a kid, I was always writing short stories and kind of drawing comics and stuff like that too. So it's just, yeah, that's just always been a creative outlet too. I just love film in general. So any kind of part of making it is just, I find just such a great, rewarding, creative outlet to just kind of, explore different things you want to try.
Yeah. Do you have a film that hooked you? That you have this passion for film, right? Was there a film that when you saw it, you thought, hell yeah, that's what I want to do?
There's a lot. John Carpenter's The Thing was a big one when I was young. I mean, obviously the Star Wars movies and all the 80s, Superman and Tim Burton's Batman, like all the ones that just kind of would expect to grab a kid, those they all did. So it was just kind of I was always just into all that stuff.
Yeah, you're speaking my language. You can ask Ike, Michael Keaton is forever my Batman. So I always tell him you can't understand the sensation that Batman 89 was that summer. It was everywhere.
Yeah, that was a wild one. That was my uncle actually brought me and my brother to the premiere for that, and we were standing in lineup, and it was just I didn't even really know. Like, I would have been like 8 years old at the time, so I didn't really understand how huge it was. But I just was looking around and seeing people dressed up, and it was remarkable. That was a memory I won't forget.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to focus in a little bit on In a Violent Nature, obviously, right? And because this movie became a bit of a surprise hit. It kind of seemed like it come out of nowhere, and it grossed over $4.5 million worldwide. It's got a big cult following now. So when you guys were making the film, did you feel that it was something special as you went through it? That, hey, this is neat.
I mean, I did just because of who I was working with and knowing Chris Nash's work and Shannon and Peter, and then knowing that Steve Kostanski was on board with the special effects, and then having read the script and all the the crazy kills. Like I knew that they were actually going to go all out and actually do these things on the screen. I didn't understand. I didn't even completely think that it was going to do what it's done. I just thought that I was part of some like a cool, fresh kind of take on the slasher genre. So I was just happy and stoked to be a part of that. But then the what it's how it's expanded and kind of blown up is, I don't think anyone could predict that.
No, absolutely. And Dave and I, when we reviewed the movie, we were both obviously blown away by this movie. Me particularly, I quite enjoyed the I guess you could say the difference in how you guys filmed it, which we'll talk a little bit more later about. Specifically playing the main character Johnny. Obviously, Johnny's a very interesting and unique character, but when we reviewed the film, we talked about how he had this really iconic look, right? The mask, the hooks, the whole nine. And it could be very easily seen beside all the icons, next to Michael, Freddy, Jason, all of them. What did you think when you first saw the look?
I mean, I was excited. It was interesting too because we did some fittings. So the mask, because I don't know if you guys have heard that the movie was essentially shot twice. And so the second time around, when I came on board, there was some retooling of the costume too to just to fix some issues that they'd noticed when they started watching stuff, and just to make it more a little more form fitting and just the design of the front of the face too. So when I first saw it. It was the original version, and then Chris kept coming back and reworking on it and just kind of tooling it a little bit. And I mean, I thought it was cool right off the bat. It just has its own unique look, and but at the same time, kind of is familiar to stuff we've seen before, like My Bloody Valentine, Friday, like all those things that had those little kind of details to it that you can look at it right away and immediately place it somewhere. So I knew I was like, oh, this is great. And then the design of the body is very much. Based off of classic slasher, The Burning and Friday the 13th and stuff like that too. So it was just great seeing that design and being like, okay, we know what kind of character this is right off the bat. Audiences are going to know it's an easy entry point. And yeah, I just love the look of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And and you mentioned it, so I was going to ask, but I'm very glad that you mentioned it. So I have seen the interview. I think it was with Points of Review. Chris Nash basically has talked about he shot 70% of the film, and the original actor for Johnny I had to step down because of an illness. So when you were approached, basically you were having to step in and say, okay, now I'm going to do what this person did, and I'm going to have to reshoot this whole film. Was that daunting to you to say, like, this movie was pretty much already shot, so now I'm stepping in and I got to try and do as good or better?
Well, it was kind of a different situation because so they had lost their actor, and then they tried out a bunch of other people to kind of jump into the suit, like just different people that they had met up on the day, another actor or whatever. So it just wasn't working. Like they just weren't it wasn't like a cohesive character. Like you could just tell it was different people playing it, and because you're with Johnny for very much of the film, they really wanted it to have a cohesive kind of one, character trait through the whole thing. So I came on after the fact, and when I, because I was unsure at first too as to like if they were going to be using any the past footage or anything too. And then so once it was kind of clear that it was going to be all me, then that gave me the freedom to just create my own character, my own version of Johnny and his own movements completely, just. I got to see some of the original footage, and it was mostly just behind, Johnny walking stuff. So even with that, it was a lot of freedom to, I it was kind of like a storyboard almost, getting to watch a previs beforehand. So I really just got to, yeah, I had the freedom to do that. I worked with Chris and Peter and Shannon. We did a couple of meetings and just went through some movements, and I just kind of showed them my version of what I would do, and then they let me know, okay. Or Chris would let me know if certain things would be sped up or slowed down. But a lot of that was to do with like at what moment in the script you were at too.
And there was, what about let's talk about the unmasked shots, right? There's not a whole lot. There's one scene in particular. That's you as well, right? I mean, the unmasked. Talk to us. What's the makeup like for that? How long did you have to spend in the chair for makeup for that, because it's you don't look like it's a, they really did you up there. So
Yeah, that was so. So there's a bunch of other shots where you'll see Johnny with the mask off, but you just see the back of his
yeah,
head.
right, yeah.
And that was a cowl. So there was a huge latex form to my head, which was actually cut out like right there. So I just have my face so I could see everything with that. But then for that scene where you do see Johnny's face, Steve Kostanski came in and did the makeup for that. So that was it was about a 3 hour job. I think approximately about that. So it was the same thing. The cowl went on, and then he attached appliances, and then kind of seamlessly added all the makeup, and then that was pretty much it. Like the teeth and everything. And we had that one day where we just went and shot that one specific scene, and then that face came out. It was just that, just for that one sequence, basically. So we sat there, we did this great makeup job, and then we were finished it in like an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, and in that unmasked scene, it believe it or not, despite like you said, all the work and the little amount of time that you see it's pretty, I would say, either iconic or
Impactful.
very impactful. Yeah, that's a better word, because it's Johnny and he's playing with the toy car that was attached to the keys, I believe. And it brings sort of this like childlike, almost innocence, baby almost quality to this character. Do you think that that was the intention behind that?
Yeah, I think kind of just to give the audience a moment to have empathy for the character, even though you've just seen him do terrible things, and you're about to see him do terrible things moments later again too. But it is kind of that Frankenstein's monster moment where you get to feel for him and to see a little bit of humanity that was there, which also kind of connects to the story, the legend that's told. So you know that some of it is true at least. It's not. Like that was supposed to be one of the intentions that all the myths and the stories told are somewhat of the truth, somewhat of what happened until maybe you see another version of it or hear more information on it, sort of thing. So Chris left it ambiguous that way. But I think that scene helps that a lot too, because you do get to see just a little bit of humanity before he starts smashing people up again.
Yeah, I mean, was it important to you? I mean, and Chris, to play that that pure drive, right? There's just it's like there was a purpose behind what he was doing, right? I mean, I know he was horrible, the kills are horrible, but he had this necklace. It was important to him. He wanted it back, so it was like he was going from point A to point B and just going through whatever was in the way. Was that how it was addressed to you? Is hey, this it's weird because it's like I guess like I said, it's almost this innocence to it, right? There's a purity to it because. And it's almost like in his mind, in Johnny's mind, it's just a means to an end, right? He's getting back what's his, and it's almost like he doesn't even have a concept of what's it's wrong what he's doing.
Yeah, pretty much. Because it like Johnny sort of he sort of works as an animal that way too, and that's the one part of humanity that's there with him too. And these people are in his territory, and they're touching his things, and taking this one connective thing that he has to his humanity. So it's just kind of yeah. I mean, and that's left open a bit too, right? Just to kind of keep things a little more creepy too. But that yeah, I think that's the intention.
Yeah, it's very Jason-like, right? Because I mean, almost Jason seemingly never grew up beyond that young child with his mom. It's very kind of reminiscent of that same feel of, yes, he's a villain. Yes, he's doing these horrible things, but it's like you have a little sympathy, right? I mean, it's you feel a little pity because of the situation.
Yeah, it's that classic, the there's always one. I mean, Michael Myers might be one of the only ones who's not, but there's often the slasher's always kind of tormented as a kid or something beforehand. But
Yeah.
that's I mean, I guess Myers kind of is in the other iterations of
Yeah, we don't talk about the Rob Zombie. No, I'm talking. I'm joking. I'm joke. But we talked a lot about sort of the work behind Johnny, and not only just the makeup, but the sort of getting into the role and everything else. But you mentioned the horrible things that Johnny does, and probably one of the most iconic scenes in this film is the kill on the cliff. I mean, people have been talking about it nonstop. People are saying that it's going to be kill of the year. Give us a little insight on how that scene kind of developed during filming.
I mean, that one was a lot of fun. That was honestly the when I was reading the script, you know, the stuff happens and I was like, all right, this is cool, and it's and then it gets to that scene in the script and it is line for line like exactly how they wrote it. And I mean, design, they had to design it like that ahead of time just for all the prosthetics and effects that were used. So I was excited for that scene right off the bat, and then seeing all the, you know, the prosthetic and special effect wizards that were all there. There was like a team that came specifically for those days and stuff. And yeah, I just sat back. I you know, me and Charlotte did the scene. We'd step in and do our things, and then we'd step back, and the effects guys would step in and do theirs, and just keep adding more and more blood. And by the time, like, they were all just covered in everything. And it took, I thought it was 2 days that we did it, but I guess because we had to keep going back to that location because we kept running out of proper daylight. But I guess it took about 4 days in total, I think, to because we had to come back to shoot the majority of the all the effect stuff, the of the kill, like with the head and all that stuff, was about probably about 4 or 5 months later. Because the whole area looked different. They had to like cut back the weeds and everything to make sure the, you know, it would match. So there's a big span in between there, and it did take a while, but they took the time and care to go back, and then they reshot other pickup stuff, and they and inserted, like, there was like a neck pop and all these other little gooey extras to just kind of like accentuate the whole thing.
Yeah, it's very unique because it's hard to get a unique kill in slashers anymore, right? You almost feel everything's been done, right? Maybe you can do it better with modern technology and modern effects, but it's very hard to get a unique kill. And that one's definitely, I mean, it's different, right? It's very unique. And something else
Yeah.
that's really unique about this is the perspective on shooting, where you see things, you know, from Johnny's point of view a lot of times, right? With him from behind him, it's almost like a video game point of view at times. You're seeing him moving on his search for the necklace. When you read the script, preparing for the role, what did you think of that? How did that strike you, being so different? Did you, I mean, did it initially strike you, how's this going to work? Because it's so different.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's part of what I thought was exciting about when they described how they were going to be shooting it. Because at first I was kind of like, they're telling me the story, and I was like, oh, this sounds really familiar. And I'm like, where's the hook? And then they're like, but we're going to show this whole thing is going to be from his perspective, or like behind him, or following him. So then I was like, oh, okay. So we're kind of flipping everything here, and that I thought was such a cool thing, because we all know the formula for slasher movies, but we don't get to see what the killer is doing the whole time. And I've always been such a big fan of, I mean, horror and slasher genre in general. So I you know, we've gotten to see, there's been some different films like that. There was a Leslie Vernon and you know, Maniac, that was directly from his perspective. So it's cool. I love seeing different attempts at showing different versions of that. And the fact that they were kind of doing something different with this one, and a different kind of a character too. Yeah, I was just excited to do that, and knowing who we're working with, these guys have seen every movie on the planet. They're huge horror fans, and they love practical effects. So you just know that they're gonna come up with something fresh. They've been sitting there watching all these movies, being like, "But what if they did that? What if you got to see this?" And then they did
Yeah, did they get a count on how many steps you had to take in this film?
that. No, man, we would have lost track the first week for sure. Yeah.
Cardio
Well, before we move on, I have to say, you name dropped the movie Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. That's hands down one of my favorite slasher movies of all time.
didn't
And
you? Great movie.
I Dave has yet to watch it, but I that's on his list. We have lists for each other for movies that we need to watch. So, but yeah, good movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
But you know, talking about the whole walking thing, before we move on from that, I would be remiss to say, on our you know, show, we do a segment called Wives Rebuttal. And you know, and our both of our wives like horror movies. But they sometimes don't like the same horror movies that we like,
Lot
a lot of
of
times.
times. That's fair.
And both of our wives basically had the same critique, that the movie was just you walking. Now, in my opinion, you know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was different. It had a sort of surrealism to it, where you're like, this is literally just mindless. He's just doing this to do this. And it's, I thought it was great. And obviously the internet kind of sides to some degree with the wives. They're complaining
Yeah,
about the
I mean,
walking,
it's
which
fair.
right. And I get it to some degree, but how do you deal with sort of that critique when it, they're, I mean, truly they're critiquing you, and I think it's unjustified, but how do you kind of deal with that?
Honestly, like we get it. Chris even said, he's like, I'm basically designed this movie for like seven people. And so it's for a very specific crowd who was looking for something like this, and the fact that it's kind of gotten attention far beyond that, and it seems to be a bigger crowd of people than that we ever expected that do appreciate it. I mean, it's something different. It's something, in its own kind of area. And you know what? We're not telling everybody, you don't have to like it. It's not, you don't have to go see, like, I mean, go see it if you think it's something that interests you or you want to see something different, and just give it a spin. But like, I mean, we know it's not gonna be for everybody. It's a divisive film. It's not supposed to be. And if it was, it would probably be forgotten pretty quickly.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody's going to forget this anytime soon. It'll be one of those films that people will look back and say, either you loved it or you hated it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But well, that's awesome. So, back on track a little bit, talking of Johnny's movements and mannerisms, we talked a little bit how it kind of resembles some of, the classic slashers. You mentioned, I think you mentioned The Burning, Friday 13th. But what were some of your personal inspirations for his movements and mannerisms? Any actors or characters that you specifically were like, I kind of like that, pull from there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, any horror fan who loves slasher films loves Kane Hodder and his movements. And I thought C.J. Graham was also a great Jason. I mean, there's little gems to kind of pull from a lot of the Jasons. And then The Burning, My Bloody Valentine, the original Nick Castle as the Shape. I just tried to like look at the ones that I really, really appreciated the most watching and when I grew up and thought that affected me the most, but then not wanting to copy any one specific thing. It was sort of trying to take a little bit of spice from each one and kind of make my own sauce. And I don't know, I like it was a lot on page too, and a lot had to do with what the kills were and that sort of thing too. We just had to had to all come together because the movie is very much like a puzzle piece with the cinematography and the effects, and Johnny have to be in a very specific spot too. So it was kind of some of the movements had to service what the film was, and then others were trying to capture the feeling of some of those inspirations.
Yeah. So as an actor, was it more difficult for you to play a predominantly masked character where you can't utilize facial expressions in any way?
Yeah, I mean it's Every, yeah, it, everything is, a different game when you're doing stuff like that. So it's like you have to rely obviously on everything but your voice and your face. So everything has to kind of be heightened that way and really focused. So I would give myself a list of rules to kind of keep that consistent. And just every time I put the mask on, I would do my checklist and then be in Johnnyville. But yeah, I mean, every role has its own challenges, but it is it to put a character through a suit and a mask and like kind of convey just a threat really is its own kind of thing. So yeah, I mean that's the biggest thing is that that was the only thing I was kind of scared about is that like I'm like I hope this looks threatening and not goofy basically. So
Well, I thought you were very threatening. It I don't know if it was, the pulling somebody's head through their stomach part, or I'm not sure, but no, I
I was in
kid.
good hands, and that's the thing is like when you're working with somebody like Chris and the whole team, you're in good hands. So you just kind of lean back and trust that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But we talked a lot about your performance as Johnny and just the I mean really I mean it sounds like you did a lot of work to get to where you got to in the film. And speaking of the film, the ending, You know what I mean? Great ending, very ambiguous, very ominous, lots of questions. You know, we don't obviously know too much about Johnny's background ex except for a little bit, you know, surrounding the necklace. But it was recently announced that there's going to be an End of Violent Nature 2. Have you been brought on board to reprise your role as Johnny yet?
Unofficially, yes. I haven't signed a contract yet, but I'm, as far as I know, I'll be back for to be Johnny. We don't know. I haven't dug too much into details, but they've told me a few things and I have a few ideas, but Chris is working on the script right now, so it's kind of all his own little secret right now. Everyone's just kind of very patiently waiting to see and hear what it's going to be.
Yeah, that I mean that's good. It's right. I mean, these movies have become iconic and remembered, or with guys like Chris, it's their passion, right? It's those kind of movies that people talk about forever, right? It's not, oh, I got picked up to do this movie, so it pays well, I'll do it. It's these guys that this is their ideal. They want to see it through. Like you said, Chris said, I wrote this for seven people, maybe. So he obviously did it for, because he thought it was a good idea, going to be a good movie. And I think that's part of what, you see that passion in the films and what makes them so appealing. But you mentioned like Kane Hodder and some of these guys earlier, right? Do you ever worry about becoming, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but being typecast as an actor who, now that the success with the success of this movie and the second one coming, of being a horror guy or a villain guy, or one of those type, because Kane's a great actor. He does a lot of good stuff, but people just think he's the guy that
He
does
is, yeah.
these mass characters.
And
And
he
they
was
don't,
doing it long before Jason, too.
and people don't, they don't know some of his other stuff he's done where he really is talented. Does that worry you? Do you not even, I mean, you're like, just take it one role at a time. Are you happy if that's what your career ends up being? Just, I mean, some people have less. I mean,
I mean, I take it one role at a time like that because honestly, I'm just grateful for anything. Getting to do this job and continue to do it, and for people to appreciate it, and no matter what film I'm doing and what I get out there, because people are always gonna, there's always gonna be a crowd. If it's getting to a festival, someone's gonna see this or someone's gonna see that, and someone's gonna appreciate it in some kind of way. So as long as I'm still getting to do it, I'm just grateful to be able to do that. So yeah, I mean, if people want to see more Johnny and that's what I get thrown into a lot of, sure, I'm sure I'll find other jobs in the mix of that too, which will also satisfy me too. So yeah, it's all good. You can't really complain. And if you do, you probably don't deserve it. So I try to just, stay gracious.
And well, you said you're a fan of horror too, because so I mean, from your perspective, it can be a lot worse, right? I mean,
Yeah, exactly.
obviously, you have some enjoyment in playing these roles then because you enjoy the genre. So.
I mean, it's a lot of fun, and it's fun getting to play as these characters that me and my brother and my neighborhood friends and kids would dress up as Jason and chase each other around and stuff like that. So getting to grow up and do this is, I'm still a kid basically. And then
Sure.
I also get to do a lot of other fun stuff like comedies and stuff. I just shot finished shooting a film that had some great improv people. Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall, a part of this new movie called Turn It Up. So like I get to do all this other crazy stuff too that's just a ton of fun. So getting to get in the whole mix of it, I welcome more Johnny.
That's awesome. Well, we welcome more Johnny as well. So we're looking forward to that. But you mentioned you obviously have other things that you're doing, and you mentioned that you just finished work on something, but any other projects, anything else you're working on that you'd want to tell us about or tell anybody else about?
Yeah, actually, I just another one just came out with the same company that I just shot that other one with, Collingwood Film Company. They have a movie called The Hyperborean that just came out. We did another film with them called Cult Hero, but it's like a dysfunctional whiskey baron family that opens this age-old barrel of whiskey, and they find a mummy inside, and the mummy is oozing with this otherworldly stuff, and then it gets crazy from there. So it's this crazy kind of, it's like a sci-fi horror comedy family movie. I don't know. It's but
Little,
it's a
something for
lot of fun.
everybody.
If, yeah, if you like quirky stuff, it's great. It's a lot of fun. That I have another. We did a puppet. It's like Conan the Barbarian meets The Thing, but it's with puppets by these special effects wizard guys, the Derushi brothers, and their son. And so that should be coming out soon. And I have another one that's it's like an 80s Adrian Lynn like erotic thriller mystery, partially horror too, called Cheat, which is coming out in September too. So there's like a bunch of different kinds of releases too. Like some are going to streaming, some are hitting physical media, and they're kind of all over the place. So
Yeah. Oh, Ike and I talk about that all the time. What it's such a great time for creators because there's so many platforms and avenues to for projects to
there
get out
is.
there.
It's hard to keep track of sometimes because there's a premiere for a different sort of thing like all the time. So
Yeah.
I mean, it's great because it gives you something to promote and to keep mentioning it and keep it fresh, but it's hard to keep it straight sometimes.
Yeah, I bet. Well, see, I don't. Yeah, you'll never get typecasted. That's a wide variety of projects right there. That's, I mean, you. Apparently, you can do a little bit of everything there. And apparently, all in that one movie. It's all the whole range. Well, Ry, we're going to wrap this up here. Thank you for your time. The movie, obviously, we've been discussing is In a Violent Nature. Everybody's heard about it. And we've talked to Ry Barrett, who plays the lead character, Johnny, in the movie. Like I said, it's an excellent movie, very creative, highly recommended by us. It's available now, video on demand. So go check it out. Ry also, as he mentioned, got lots of other acting credits, lots of other things coming out there. So check those movie out. And support him. So, Ryan, if fans want to keep track of you and all these projects, you said it's hard to keep track of everything and where it's going to be and what it's going to do. But if they want to follow you, keep track of what you're doing, know what's their best way to be able to do that?
I probably bet like I'm pretty straightforward just with Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just search the Ry Barrett and or anything to do with In a Violent Nature, and you'll probably find my links on there too. So
There you go. All right. Well, like we said, Ry, we appreciate your time. We didn't want to keep you too long. We wanted to kind of focus in on In a Violent Nature because that's what's still on everybody's mind right
yeah.
now, and obviously, especially with the news of the sequel coming up, it's brought it kind of brought it back to prominence again. But like we said, you've got lots of other stuff. Hopefully, people who enjoyed you in this will go out and check your other stuff out and give you support. I look forward to seeing you. I'm sure we're going to see you in lots of cool stuff in the future. And I look forward to seeing where your career takes you and maybe talking more down the road with you about some of those other projects.
Thanks. No, thanks for having me, guys. And I should mention too, In a Violent Nature hit Shudder Friday the 13th September. So that's
Oh, there you
another
go. That's
date I
right.
should definitely mention.
That's right.
I
Yeah.
have C and Shudder might be pissed if I don't.
Yeah. That's right. There you go. So very cool. Friday the 13th. What a perfect. Right. I mean, who's going to forget that? So there you go. September 13th, Friday the 13th. If you've not seen it yet, In a Violent Nature, hit Shudder. And this will be the first, right? This will be the first actual digital, not non-video on demand release of
It's
the movie.
just on demand. This will be the first, I think, streaming
Yeah.
just straightforward.
There you go. There you go. So if you've not seen it yet or want to see it again, there you go. September 13th, hitting Shudder. Very, very cool. I'm sure Ike and I will probably have it on the rotation when it comes out again. And
Oh, yes.
do some rewatches. So, Ryan, again, thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully we can touch base down the road and talk about more of the great things you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good, guys.
All right, and thank you to Ryan Barrett for coming on, like we said, and joining us, talking about In a Violent Nature, In a Violent Nature 2, and I don't know if it's breaking the news, but the first I'd heard of it hitting Shudder September 13th. I don't
Yeah.
know that there's been that announcement yet. Obviously, they've given him the go ahead to. And advised him to start plugging it. So very cool. Relatively new news there. Very, very cool. Very excited to see the sequel. And I'm very excited to hear because the last I had heard, Ry said he hadn't heard officially anything about it. But it was very right when the announcement came out. So I'm very glad to hear that yes, it's all but putting ink to paper. He is definitely going to be back in the next role or in the next movie.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I was going to say. I'm very happy to hear that. Obviously he was great to talk to, but it would be very hard to replace him, especially having talked him, talk with him through his process of, becoming Johnny and everything else. And also talking about how they tried to just reshoot the film because of, the actor that had to step down. So very happy to hear that they're going to bring him back because I don't think they could have done it otherwise.
No. No, so hopefully everybody will go check out Rye on some of his other projects. He's got a lot of other great stuff out there. Looks like, sounds like just a ton of other stuff coming out soon. So hopefully that not only will you support the film In a Violent Nature and the upcoming sequel, but hopefully you will support Rye specifically and go
Yeah.
check out some of his other things because, like I said, I know maybe he's not afraid of being typecast, whatever else, but he's a very intelligent guy, very funny. Sounds like by his projects he's doing, he's got a very wide range. So it is kind of cool to see him out there doing these other things. And hopefully people will check those out, support Rye. And then, but keep plugging away on In a Violent Nature. Keep supporting it because, maybe we won't just get a sequel. Maybe this will turn into a whole franchise. And,
Yeah.
like we said, there's so many ways they can go with this, so many things they could do. I mean, it's very exciting because, like he said, it's very reminiscent of classic slashers, and their approach and their style, and everything's so ambiguous right now. It's like, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? What's
Yeah.
going to happen? How's Johnny coming back again? And it's so cool to have that kind of up in the air because, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen, and that's exciting. So there you have it. Another bonus episode. Another bonus interview with Rye Barrett, star of In a Violent Nature. Thank you for talking to us. We hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back this whenever you're listening to it, the next Thursday, we're coming back with another episode. It doesn't matter when it is. There's every Thursday the new episodes drop, so check those out. Make sure you subscribe to us so that you don't miss an episode. But until that episode, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.